last week on Jack Unmasked.
Staff, Willie, Dave Dryden, Billy Ray, the coach. One of the biggest thrills of my whole life was there's 21 steps. Because Glenn Hull told me that. Armstrong, Keon, Horton, Mike Shaky Walton, Bobby Howell, Stan Mikita, Pierre Palat, Al Capone, Paul Cervenci, and Tom Reed, Brett Hull. Jim Piggott from Saskatoon, you're in Chicago Stadium, boy.
Well, welcome to the Jack Norris Podcast. We like to call it Jack Unmasked. Hockey stories from the 60s and 70s. Proudly brought to you by the Simply Grounded Coffee Gallery in downtown Duluth. We hope you enjoy reminiscing about hockey as much as we do. So, without further ado, let's chat with Jack. All right, well, we got Jack back on the line here. Jack, how are things going down there today?
Oh, good. She's a little cool today, but sunshine, beautiful, and I'm sitting watching football.
You're watching the Patriot-Jaguar game. Many people won't hear this till probably Friday. Who do you think is going to win this game?
I think the Patriots.
The Patriots, yes. Okay, that's it. That's good. We'll see. You're usually pretty good with your predictions. We'll see if that actually comes true or not.
Well, we'll see.
So last week we did the first podcast. How many people do you think we were going to have listen to that podcast?
Oh, two or three probably.
I think Josie figured four. I figured maybe 50. We actually hit 295, which was pretty good, actually, I thought, for a first time out.
Yeah, the word spreads around. Maybe it might pick up, might get to be pretty popular. You never know.
Well, if you keep telling stories like Fat Willie's.
We're going to the Oregon Stop Pizza tonight again, so we're really keeping up with the same story kind of thing.
Well,
so.
If there's good Oregon music and pizza, I mean, it's probably good for your diet, right?
Yeah.
So if you're interested, I've got a couple reviews that actually came in, whether it was through Facebook and a couple texts. Are you interested in hearing them?
Sure.
After we had put it out there, Bryce had put back on Facebook, hey, we're all going to Fat Willie's today for all you can eat fish and chips. I had lots of texts and calls on the Fat Willie's. People really want to get on that diet. But there's a lot of people mad at you because they went in the diet and they put on 8 pounds.
Well, at Fat Willie's, I guess you could do that quite easily.
That's true. Yeah, Kim had said, this is great. Good job, boys. Chad had posted there, looking forward to hearing it with the family. And boys always like hearing Jack's stories. And one of my favorite texts that I did get here from a guy was, dude, that was a cool podcast, man. I could sit down with your dad and a bottle of rum and listen to his stories all night.
He probably has.
So anyways, we left off last week with the story of the missing hockey bag. Let's hear what happened here.
Well, I told you I was in Los Angeles with the Blades. And anyway, flew over to Toronto that day. That's where I was supposed to meet the Boston Bruins. Was at the Royal York Hotel, and I had my bag and a taxi from the airport and took it to the Royal York Hotel and checked the big bag in with the bell captain downstairs, which I thought was proper. But anyway, got my room and went up my room and laid down for a while. Come down at 4:30 and most of the guys were there and meet them and they're all happy to see me and said, nice to see you and everything. And so I said, well,
Is that Boston Bruins boys that were there?
Yeah. Teddy Green and all these music and all these big name guys are all there. So anyway, so I'll go get my bag. So I went into the bell cap to get my bag, and it wasn't there. I said, you sure it's not here? And I says, this is pretty important. I have this bag. He said, well, it's not here. I don't know where it is. So I start worrying a little bit. Oh my God. So anyway, I thought maybe the trainer took it. So we walked about a block to where the subway streetcar, whatever you call those things, were, to take it to the Maple Leaf Gardens. And we get off there, and you walk about a half a block to the Maple Leaf Gardens, and The old gardens, not the new one, but the old one.
Yeah.
And we walk in there and went to the dressing room, and Dan Canny was the trainer. And I said, Dan, you got my hockey bag? He says, no. He says, I don't. I says, well, I don't know where it is.
That's not good, is it?
It's missed. I don't know where it is. So anyway, he got big panic, and I think Melty Schmidt was the coach. And anyway, he says, next time you travel like that, you put that bag under your bed, he said, or use it for a pillow. He says, I want you have your equipment with you at all times. He says, that's bad.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, they made their mind up. Eddie Johnson had to, he was the other goalie, and he was sick that night, but he was there. And he had to play the game because I had no equipment.
Yeah.
Well, anyway.
That was supposed to be your start that night, wasn't it?
Yeah. So, and there's no other goalie. Like now you got two or three. Well, in those days, you only had one goalie. That's all you had.
Yeah.
Eddie was the only goalie they had. So he was sick, but he said, I'll try. So he goes out and playing, and I think it was in the second period. He went down on a scramble to freeze the puck, and somebody come through. And you know that hole in the back of those catching gloves, like those baseball glove kind of first base trapper. Well, that hole was there, and somebody stepped on that hole and cut his hand on the back of his hand, cut all the tendons.
Yep.
Well, he was in bad shape. He couldn't play, so I guess a defenseman came in and played the rest of the game and played goal. You can believe this is the National Hockey League? I can't believe this.
That's right.
That's what happened. So anyway, the game, I think Toronto beat us 3-2 or 4-2 or something. And then next game, we fly out that night back to Boston. We're supposed to play the New York Rangers in Boston next day. So here I am, Eddie's sick. Eddie's out for the rest of the year with his cut hand. So here I am with no equipment, supposed to play a game. So you know what happened? They said, try Eddie's stuff on, see if it fits. So I tried his skates, and they're a little too big. But anyway, I put them on, and they were okay, not bad. And I had his pads and his helmet. We didn't have helmets in those days. All the gear, put it all on, use it. Jock strap and everything. I mean, what are you going to use?
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
So anyway, I put it all on and went out, and I was really shaky when I first hit the ice because, I mean, it's a different feel. You know, everything's just feeling different.
Even somebody's different skates.
Yeah. So anyway, I kind of got a little more comfortable as the game went on. And anyway, we had to win the game, I think, 5-2 or 4-2 or something.
Oh, you won the game. I didn't know that.
Yeah, we did. As far as I can remember, we did anyway. I'll say we did anyway.
Okay.
Sounds better.
Yeah, I believe you.
So anyway, time went on. So anyway, next day came, and they were looking for my equipment. And long story short, is a lady had her kids at the hotel and had all their hockey gear in this bell captain's room. And she come down and says, all that stuff belongs to my kids. I put it in my van.
Oh, geez.
And we're going back to Tim. I don't know where they're going to, someplace in Ontario. And she gets home and she calls back the hotel saying they got a hockey bag from a goalie in their van, which is not theirs. So anyway, long story short, it gets back to Boston the next day. And so Monday morning, it was there for practice. And I practiced and I had my stuff by Monday morning. So.
Oh, boy. That's crazy. Like playing an NHL game with somebody else's, probably your first league game too, wasn't it?
I think it was exactly the first one. Yeah, I was probably 21 years old.
Yeah, yeah. Wow.
A long time ago. But you know what? And I look back to it now saying, I didn't even pay any attention to what happened, really. But when you think about it now, people wouldn't do that now.
Mm-hmm.
You'd never get a guy to put another guy's equipment on and play a game now. But when you've only got one goalie there, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Nothing else you can do.
So I was going to say, what was your mindset with Milt Schmidt telling you, well, put on Eddie's equipment and get in there?
Well, you know what? He's the boss, and I'm just working for him. So you got to do what he says. So.
Oh, that's true.
You got to put it on. But it was sure not feeling good. I mean, all the guys were putting it all on before the game, and they're all saying, how's it feel? Are you okay? And I was kind of speechless because I was a rookie. Like, you know, didn't want to do much talking. And I went out for the warm-ups, and everybody was gentle on me, like, with the shots. And I got, you know, after about 15 minutes of the first period, I was starting to feel more comfortable with that stuff on. But you know what? With Boston in those days, like, the Bruins had a bad team. They were in last place. Every year, out of the six teams, they're always last.
Mm-hmm.
And just about, or New York would be last, Boston would be fifth. But all the rest of Toronto, Detroit, Chicago, and Montreal were all the top four teams.
Yeah.
And you know what? That's just the way things go. That's what happens, and it's just one of those things that happens. So.
Yep.
But Milt Schmidt, he said to me, after the game on the Sunday, he said, I don't want you going out to where Eddie and those guys live out there because I'm superstitious about that area. It's called the Hand or something.
Okay, yep.
He said, I want you to stay right in the hotel's part of the big rink there.
Yep.
All one big building. So he said, I want you to stay in that hotel. It wasn't a very nice one, but he didn't seem to care. And he said, you stay there, and the Bruins are paying for it. He said, you just stay there all the time. So anyway, that's what I did was stayed in that hotel.
So the rest of the year you stayed up with Boston.
Yep.
Living in the hotel, but you kind of had somebody that, I guess, supported you the rest of the year and kind of took you under their wing, one of the veterans there. And I think what would be really interesting next week, if you kind of share that story of what veteran for the Boston Bruins took you under his wing and took care of you the rest of the year. I think that's a pretty interesting story.
Yeah, that's a good story. The rest is a very good story. So I'd be glad to do it.
Okay, let's do that. Let's chat about that next week. So, all right. Well,
you bet.
Okay, well, thanks, Jack. That was really interesting, and we'll talk to you again next week, all right?
You betcha.
Okay, thanks, Jack.
Yep. Bye.
Well, that ends episode 2 of Jack Unmasked, where Jack is forced out of his comfort zone, learns to adapt, and ultimately succeeds.
If you would like to be notified and subscribe to the next podcast, go to www.nccag.ca. Click the podcast tab, enter your email, and you'll be notified of the next podcast. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.
Royal York Hotel, Boston Bruins, Teddy Green, music, Maple Leaf Garden. Milton Schmidt was the coach. You put that bag under your bed, he said, or use it for a pillow. Eddie was the only goalie they had. Defensemen come in and played the rest of the game and play goal. You can believe this is the National Hockey League. New York Rangers, jockstrap and everything. I mean, what are you going to use? But when you've only got one goalie there, what are you going to do?